up on this program.
Blog Talk Radio.
So I'll see you guys in a little bit.
We are 241 years past the signing of the Declaration.
That's right, 240 years. That's amazing, isn't it? Actually, you know, I think I'll play the promo instead this time. I think that would work better. So here we go. We are just about to get in. So, yes, I do. Facial identification. Go. We're going to go live on radio at the same time. Here we go.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
347-637-3942, 347-637-3942. My producer says that I said it too fast last week. I usually do, but, you know, I get it. It's on my webpage, my Facebook page, and it's wherever I have it. I put the number on. So, but I have slowed down, and I understand, and that's what I'm doing today. Okay, I got a thumbs up. So today, we're going to talk about the economy. Ooh, we got more guests in. So first guest is Mr. Bill Muckler. I'm going to add him to the stream. Mr. Muckler, welcome. Oh, you're welcome. And you're the first of the cast we have tonight, the guests. We're going to talk about the economy and the effect it will have on the election, which is pretty close. It's coming up pretty fast. So we'd like to have your input, and I'm going to add other people on. Next guest, and tell us a little bit about yourself before we go forward. And so your expertise is also in business, is that correct?
Yeah, I was I had my own business, and I guess I should add that for most of my life I worked as a work management process consultant. So, I worked with everybody from the CEO level down to the technicians and the operators of companies, mostly in large industries, heavy industries, which that's where a lot of the real work gets done, you know, power plants, coal mines, cement plants, that type of thing.
Well, great. I'm glad to have you on board. And our next guest is Mr. Doobie Walton. Hello, Doobie, can you hear me, sir? And I have you both together, and you're both Marines. I'm not going to say former Marines, but I made that mistake before.
Right.
Hey, tell us about yourself.
Angel Dad. Mm-hmm. One of those advocates for victims. And I also the Marine Corps.
Awesome. So, yeah. You guys have a great organization, by the way, and I know some other people in it, great people. So thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. From the Midwest, which is even bonus point. Okay. And our next guest is David Frank. David Frank, tell us about yourself. I know you're a former radio host and did all that stuff in a past life, and you have a great program called OneVoiceNow.org. Can you tell us about yourself?
Thank you so much for
what you've done for this country. But maybe that would be the end of this. It still goes on.
Yeah, yes.
Just, but anyway,
right.
About myself, very quickly, I promoted.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, we promote a plan called One Voice Now. I became an activist about 32 years ago, started doing a radio program called Stand Up America, trying to explain to people what was going to be happening to America and what was happening back then. And I've been an activist ever since. We promote a plan to give everyone in America real ways we have work, and that's what we're doing. We're trying to get people to realize that politicians aren't going to fix America. It's got to be we the people, and it's got to happen in our own communities. So that's what I do, and it's great to be here with you guys.
And thank you. Like I said, everybody else, welcome aboard. And we just lost one of our guests that you see here. I can get them back here. So I think we have just a little bit of technical difficulty, not like last week. Last week was a disaster. You know. But let's start off with what do you think about these gas prices? Let's start with the economy. Tell me what it's like for every one of you. I know some of you guys are successful businessmen and things like that, and others are not. But how does the economy affect you? This is everything from food to planes to whatever. So let's go with Bill first.
Okay. This had a big where I live by myself. Working very hard and learning how to live independently. But I do my own cooking and shopping and so forth. And I go to some stores in Florida called Publix. Nice grocery store. And I used to spend, go on Monday and I'd spend like maybe $50. And then I might go again later on in the week to pick up a few things. Now it's costing me $90. And some things like, I look at an apple and I think, I actually need a few apples, you know, I need to be healthy. I'm an old guy, I'm 87. And they're $1.99 a pound. Well, now they're $2.99 a pound. But the government says, the increase in prices on fresh fruit is 4.8%. But, you know, $1.99 to $2.99, that's like 2 to 3, isn't that like 50%? So,
right.
So somebody, and I guess that's really what I want to talk about, is, yeah, this is an impact in all this. They're saying that gas has gone down. Well, it's gone down from an all-time high they had.
Right.
But it's still that around $2 a gallon that I was paying a couple of years ago. So here's the thing that the point I'd like to make. We've got a lot of unelected bureaucrats that are running this country. And in the first book I wrote about how the government is kind of constructed and farmed away. And what I found was, by doing research, we've got more than 2,100 government agencies, departments, and offices, and so forth. So we need 2,100 different agencies and millions of people. Nobody even knows how many people the government has employed to tell us how to run our lives and how to govern us and rule us. And that's what they're trying to do. So anyway, my point is, we've got unelected bureaucrats. Many of them have no experience whatsoever in anything related to business or economy. And they're setting all these rules and regulations. And rules and regulations cost us about $6,000 a year per person. Now, that's on top of what they're saying, we're losing our purchasing power. Well, our purchasing power is about $5,000 less. So, for example, me, I rely on my Social Security, but I've got some investments and savings too, so I'm okay. But I get an increase in my Social Security, like it usually is around 2 or 3% now. next year it's going to be 8.7%. But so I get this increase in my Social Security, and so it goes up like maybe $20 a month. But then what happens is I get deducted from that by Part A, B, and D Medicare, and that's maybe $30 a month. So I end up getting less money per month than what I was getting before, even though the government says, oh, you're getting a 3% increase. You know, so the whole thing is they manipulate the numbers. The employment numbers are manipulated. When Obama took office back in 2009, they were faced with a real high unemployment rate. That was since year six. And the year six was around 12%. So they thought, oh, boy, well, how do we explain this? You know, we gotta do something because we're the ones that are going to break down. So what they did, instead of having the state send it into the Labor Department that took care of all this, what they did is they had it all sent into the White House, and they calculated the numbers, and all of a sudden, the numbers started going down. But the unemployment rate, which is around 62%, labor participation rate, which is around 62%, never changed in it. So the whole thing is, yeah, it's impacting old guys like me, and I know it's impacting the people who are maybe a little bit lower income. They're trying to make it a heck of a lot more than it is me.
Absolutely. Let me bring on Mr. Rebel Hayes. Welcome to the show, sir. You've been on here before.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. And how are you?
Can you hear me fine?
Yes. Yes, we can now. Mr. Owens, Ronald F. Owens, welcome. And Mr. Rebel Hayes, tell us about yourself before we get to Mr. Owens.
Well, I'm basically an entrepreneur. I work for myself and I have for a number of years. I develop my own products and put them out there on the market. And, been doing it for quite a while. I come from, you know, kind of a diverse background. As a kid, I grew up in Chicago, and from Chicago, I went into Indiana, and then back to Chicago. I lived in California for a few years. That's, you know, when I was in my teens. And basically, I've been up here in Michigan for the past probably 25 years, maybe 20 years, something like that. And that's basically what I've done. I've studied law for quite a while. You know, I've won some lawsuits. I have, everything that pretty much that I do, I study a lot. You know, the thing with the vaccines, I didn't jump right into it. I wanted to see what was going on first, so that was a good thing. Basically, that's about it. You know, I'm really an entrepreneur. I build things, and I create duplicates of it and sell them.
Yes, awesome. All right, Mr. Ronald F. Owens is next. Welcome to the program again. You were on last week at the end of the show. First of all, we all know you're an Oreo Air Force brat. I wonder, tell us about how you're in California. You probably have the most stringent government I've ever heard of. I've had California guests on before. And how is the economy affecting you? What do you see?
So, and I don't want to minimize or others in California here. Yeah, wow, what's that? our freedom.
Got to Mr. Doobie. Well, then tell us about your what's going on in Illinois, the second worst state in the country.
First of all, I'm obviously out of class, but really
no, you're not. No, you're not. Not at all. Bother the people making the rules, right? This is like Animal Farm, kind of. And there's consequences to shutting off all the reserves, or to give out your reserves and to shut off the supply line, and then to go beg for your enemies for oil. So this is why the gas prices are high, but, you know, maybe it isn't. Maybe the whole thing, everything that's going on right now, we can blame on Ukraine. I think they started Ukraine to use for that purpose. Now they're going to start passing out the crack pipes you tried to introduce last year. Mr. David Frank, tell us how things are going where you are.
Gary, Indiana.
Yes.
And, you know, this is what happens. Economy. economies are destroyed. That's what's happening right now. People that are running America. And Doobie, you're absolutely right. You know, it has to happen from ground up in it. It has to happen in your community. And everything that's happening is national. And people forget, you know, historically, before Germany, you could become Nazi Germany, depression. The people were desperate. And that's bringing now to make clear they're going to give us, an 8.5% raise in our Social Security. It's not going to pay for anything. And, you know, these guys have stolen from America so long, they finally beat us up economically. We were totally broke. And we have to realize that the Declaration of Independence tells us it's our right. And our duty to change the system. And the system does not work. All top-down systems only benefit the people at the top. So what we need to do is use communication technology that we've never, ever had before and rebuild America from the ground up by empowering everyone with a voice. Because right now, out of the 330 million people in America, we're asking 545 to give us the solutions. They don't have the answers. The answers are in our communities. So that's what I promote, like I call it, One Voice Now. We can get this thing up and running overnight. All I'm saying is that the American people own a TV station. It started back in 1969. And it was supposed to actually broadcast public. That's why they called it public broadcast. Mm-hmm. And the federal government started playing it immediately to make sure that that wasn't happening where we had a voice. So what I'm saying is let's use our TV station that we own, community by community. Let's use it as our local issues, TV, radio, and internet channel. And let the people in our community start coming up with ideas to make education better, environment, taxation, get rid of taxation.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever it is, present your ideas directly to the community or TV. We'll simulcast it over the radio and live stream it over the internet so everyone has an opportunity to see it. And then just like we're voting on American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, we'll be able to vote with our bones, our miraculous bones. And all we'll do is call a local number. It'll go into a community database that will have your ID number and PIN number, ask you what issue number you want to vote on, press 1 yes, 2 for no, count your vote, lock you out if you try and vote again. And we can now have decisions the way our founders wanted them to be made back in 1700s of by and for the people. And that's basically it.
Awesome. Hey, let me, we have a caller, if you guys want to answer questions or anything. Let's see, we'll go there. Hey, caller, are you on there, or where are you from?
You talking to me?
Yes.
Rhonda, are you, did you unlock me?
Huh?
Kevin, is it,
yeah.
Can I talk? Oh my God.
Yes, you can talk.
Oh my God, I
can
talk. Oh my God! What do you want me to say? All I did
you're
was
from
this. What? Yeah, I'm from California.
I ran for recall,
Gavin Newsom. I was on the ballot, and I had to sue a few times to get my name on the ballot, and then even after the election, and then they didn't want discovery, so they just said, you know, we'll refund your money. And I said, refund my money, but you just engaged in illegal fraudulent activity on this recall Gavin Newsom. And they're going like, just, you know, take the money and go. And so basically I took $10,000 and said, I'll go, but I'm not going to be quiet because I actually should be on this election. Actually, there should be no additional, because he was recalled. He was recalled during the initial recall. So I'm sitting here wondering, okay, you can go through this whole facade, California, give me this refund. I'm over here. Now, who's on the ballot? You want to put my name on the ballot again, or you want to omit my name, and I sue you after the fact of the election? Because you've already, you know, basically admitted it twice by refunding my money the second time. And if it's not on there, which, you know, I don't know what the ballot looks like because, you know, I don't even live there anymore. I'm over here on the East Coast right now. Basically, whether I'm on vacation or where I'm going, because I had a California car and California says, no, she has a California driver's license. It's still registered here. We still have her car. So, you know, I don't know what's going on with the state or how they're operating. But obviously, I tried publishing a calendar because I've been trying to gain employment 2015 since I discovered this whole facade. And, you know, they knew that I saw Benghazi. I mean, it all goes all back to Benghazi because I saw the live stream of Benghazi back in the day on live stream and shared the videos and was sharing it all over and had downloaded it and had everything for like 13 hours. So today I went on a frantic, you know, rampage saying, you know, why would Gavin Newsom never debate me? I have nothing better to go on the air with him 13 hours and debate him on every issue that anybody ever brought up. And he backed down. He never returned the phone call. And when I was trying to publish a calendar to try to gain some type of fund, because they've been freezing accounts here, you know, I find out that my Wi-Fi, through where I live, okay, and I have my password and the servers at a whole different company, is still under California DirecTV and Monaco Maintenance, which is linked back to Irvine Properties, the biggest HOA is in the United States. And I'm going like, what's going on here? So that is why, Kevin, I can't get on to a video with you. That is why I, you know, have difficulty, you know, posting things or tweeting things or sending things or sharing things. And I go, it's because they sent me to the point that, you know, this is ridiculous.
Let me ask you a question. Okay. You're from California. You moved to Florida, I believe. What difference do you see in the economy?
Well, the economy is much better here, although, you know, we just experienced a hurricane. But, you know, Governor DeSantis was out here immediately, you know, everywhere, through every site, in making sure that things were up, you know, sooner than expected. I mean, he had, like, you know, the state pulled themselves together and volunteered and did everything they could to support, you know, other Floridians. I mean, you see disasters and things go on in other states, unfortunately, in California being the worst. Because, you know, I lived in California through many, many fires and was still in California during the, what was it, the Pleasantville or Pleasure Fire or whatever the heck it was over there when that whole community was wiped out. I mean, basically, you know, I don't believe they ever rebuilt it or did anything. I mean, it was all for Gavin Newsom's stupid bullet train. I mean, he was trying to get rid of everybody that had property in people, you know, because, you know, he wanted tax dollars to fund his bullet train to nowhere because it was never going to get anywhere.
Right.
It was never going to go anywhere. And, you know, it, these people in California sit there and think, wow, this is a great idea. No, you're just voting your tax dollars to his pocketbook and his $700 meal, which he never shuts down his winery. The entrees are $700 a plate. Now, if the entrees are that much money, can you imagine how much the wine was at that restaurant? Because we saw bottles of wine
right
on the table. Ronald Owens
has a question for you, fellow Californian.
Yes.
Can you hear Ronald?
No, I there's no volume on my phone. I can't hear anything.
Ronald, you said you work near Elk Grove?
Yeah.
I what?
Elk Grove, California is where he lived.
He grew up in California.
He is still in California, yeah.
I'm in Florida right now. I'm not in California.
Right. He wants to make a point. What is your point, Ronald?
Basically, I'm on vacation. So what is he, you know, people take extended vacations in different places.
Okay. We have a hard time communicating right now. So thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Thank you.
I couldn't hear what you said.
Everybody knows what I mean.
Right.
Database
in your community with ID numbers and PIN numbers, people can vote into it. And it's very safe. One computer per community. We can do that. Technology is being used on us everywhere. And if we don't use this technology for us, we're going to lose against us.
Would you say?
Let me jump in here for a second. David, you don't remember me, but about 2 years ago, you and I had some conversations on Facebook Messenger. In fact, I've got your book and read your book, and we discussed it a little bit. And I think we're getting around to maybe talking about my book, and it just never happened. I don't know what happened there, but if you look me up, you'll see that we're Facebook friends, and you can go back and check on some of those conversations. So I'm well aware of what you're talking about. What it boils down to is it's not who does the voting, it's who counts the votes, and whether you count them.
Right.
However you do it, if they can find a way to corrupt it and change it, they'll do it. And I think David's theory is, hey, you can just vote on American Idol or Dancing with the Stars, and that works out pretty darn accurately and good, even though the technology's there. But they don't want that technology, David.
Yeah.
They don't want us using, and Ronald, they don't want us using that because they can't cheat.
Yeah. And
we have to want it. It's up to us. They are not going to come up with a plan to give us a voice. That's the last thing they want. It's up to us to come up with that plan. And people forget, the founders were not politicians. They were citizens. They were citizens that came up with a plan. And that's what we have to do. And it's a very simple plan. Watch issues over the TV, radio, and internet locally, and vote by phone. And remember also, I mean, I pay my bills with my phone. I transfer money with my phone. This phone is nothing short of miraculous. And if we use it the right way, we can take this country back.
That's the word. Yeah. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, I didn't know my mic was on. I said, yeah, we need a lot of technology. We can have a voter card, an electronic voter card, or we can have an electronic ID that, we can just scan across something and it put our vote in. But we need a watchdog party that's going to, watch these machines to make sure that their algorithms are not screwed with. Because a lot of times that's how Dominion basically got away with what they did. And they're still getting away with it. So we need something a little more unsophisticated,
This is different technology.
Yeah, we need different technology.
Those are voting machines that are controlled by the Democrat and Republican Party. In fact, in our community right now, one of the Democrats and the Republican that were supposed to be in charge of counting these votes, one had one key, one had another key, but they needed both keys to get into this room. They've got this lady on film now. Somehow she got a duplicate key. She went in the room. She grabbed all these ballots. The videos show her throwing the ballots away. So we don't want the Democrats and Republicans counting our votes. A computer, just one computer per community, just like your bank is using, your credit card company is using, to identify you with an ID number and PIN number. That takes you into it. Very simple. What issue number do you want to vote on? Press 1 for yes, 2 for no. Count the vote. But we can't trust these people anymore, Rebel. It's over. If you don't have a working voting system, you don't have a republic anymore. It's over.
It's a very complex, working with Democrats and Republicans is very, I mean, look at what happens when the economy goes broke like it's going now. They get rich. And then we stop, the protests, make the rich pay more taxes. Well, they're the ones that are making the laws. You know, they're the ones that are paying the senators to get things by that are making the laws. So it's going to be hard to, you know, tax the rich when they're the ones actually standing behind the scenes, like pulling the strings, you know. I think, you know, basically, you know, I come basically from a strange background, I guess. What I'm listening and what I'm hearing, you know, our educational system has been turned upside down. They're coming in through the colleges, they're coming in through the daycare centers, they're coming in through the K centers, you know, kindergarten to third grade. Who would ever have thought you'd have a trans person coming in dressed in drag in a third grade classroom? I had absolutely no idea what was even going on when I first saw it. So, you know, I may have been a little out of touch with that when it happened, but that was crazy. And to think that our educators would let something like that come down on us, it's like, and not even tell us, you know, not even inform the parents. You know, informed consent is 99% of it. You know, it's like with a vaccine. Informed consent, there was none. There is none. You know, so we went and did whatever each individual family felt safe with. You know, because most of us, I think, at least what I've understood, is we act either out of fear or we go after the carrot, you know? And most of the time we're acting out of fear, and we're not chasing the carrot. So a lot of families did act out of fear on that, and, you know, God bless them, but, you know, nobody could tell anybody anything. Facebook was telling you can't post this, and YouTube was taking down that, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's a messed up situation that we're in. It's going to be very, what I can see, it's going to be very complex when we cut together. And we do need people in a group talking about it, sharing thoughts and ideas, because that's what innovates, you know what I mean? And this is where it starts, right here.
I wanted to ask a question. How, David, would a person have to have a cell phone to vote in the system that you described?
Andy, you can borrow a cell phone. 100 people can vote on the same cell phone. It's all cell phone that's important. The ID number is important.
That's right. But a person needs a cell phone, that's correct?
I think that's what he's saying, is you need a cell phone.
Yeah, you need a computer
as well. And computers are available at libraries. And hey, everybody's got a cell phone. They're giving free cell phones.
That's right. Right.
I think in very simple terms, and there's not a computer made that can't be hacked. And there's never going to be one made that I'm going to trust with my phone or with anybody else's. They've proven they can hack. Okay, they can hack the national defense, they can hack the pipelines, they can hack anything. There has to be some way that we can get this voting done. But they can't know it. They can't put their fingers on it. And technology, in my opinion, is not the answer.
Right now,
you have money being held by a computer. Okay? And when you get on an airplane, it's run by computers. Everything we're doing, and you're right, it's possible. But if you have a computer per community, and it's fail-safe because nobody has control over that computer, not one person. You have teams working on it, and all they're doing is counting votes. That's all they're doing. It's not that. It's really, right now, you are trusting a computer with your money. That's what you're doing.
Right.
And all this is you want to vote yes or no on the legalization of marijuana in your community. Press one for yes, two for no. Exactly. And I mean, I made my oath with my phone. I haven't had a problem. And I check my ballot every day. I haven't had a problem. But it's possible. You're right. It is possible. But when you start having Democrats and Republicans counting paper ballots, you got a problem.
Right.
Well,
those people cannot be trusted.
I go back to my point. By paper ballot, Gavin Newsom was forced to be recalled. By pen to paper, by people signing their signatures. But when it came to the electronic system, he wins by 60%. So you look at both systems, in this case in California, the paper, the pen to the paper process was more accurate, so reflected more the will of the people than the electronic system. My problem with the
there are different electronic systems.
Not everybody has a cell phone. So we're going to require people
they don't need one.
To take a paper and to participate in a process. They have to have a cell phone. They have to use a touch cell. You don't have to do that, and you shouldn't have to do that to go vote. I agree.
A lot of people don't have a car to drive to the polls.
True.
They don't have a car to get there.
I agree in principle that technology could be used, could be accurate, but heretofore, it has not been.
Well, it's a big word.
No, but you're comparing what we're promoting to that thing that system that you were using there in California that was probably actually bought by the Democrats, put in place by the Democrats.
Well, the forensic study of the software needs to be held.
Right. You're right, Rebel.
You're comparing that computer with what's being proposed. There's all kinds of computer systems all around us that we're using all the time. So if you have one that doesn't work, you can't go, well, that none of them work. Most of them do work.
I'd be more worried about the software than I would the computer, though. I used to write software. I wrote a lot of different things for my own purpose and databases and things of that nature. And I don't know who said it, but everything is happening. I mean, our lives have happened. My bank account's been hacked a couple of times, and I don't even know how it was.
Same here.
You know? My credit cards have been
made.
Yeah.
You haven't stopped using it. You actually stopped using it.
Oh, yes, I have. I use it for emergency purposes only. I don't use banks. They are actually in my life on emergency purposes only. Because, I believe we all live in our own economy. We all live in our own micro little economy. My economy is different than your economy, and his economy is different than his economy. And when we try to put a safe fence around our little economy that we got, these castles that we build, our kingdoms, as men that we build, we try to protect it as best as we can. And what I have done is I have used banks just on emergency purposes only. And I have, if I want money in the bank, I'll grab it out of my safe and I'll go down and put it in bank, and then I'll charge something. But as far as leaving it in there, no, it's too hard to get out. You put $5,000 or $10,000 in a bank, you're going to have red flags all over. And he tried, to pull it.
Yes, been there. Right. Before we... Yes, right.
We all live in our own micromanaged environments that, we have to build and create ourselves. And when we do that, I think that, banking is number one. I use cryptocurrency on a low scale, but I use cash basically for everything. Now, I've understood that the cash system is going by the wayside here within a couple of years, maybe. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard reports on this new currency by the federal government.
I thought it was December 13th this year.
It may be. So I'm predicting that maybe everybody is probably not going to like that.
Right.
And they can track what you buy. A gallon of milk, they know it. A gallon of gas, they know it. So they can limit you to what you buy, basically, with this new currency. they won't be able to, oh, you didn't pay your taxes last month, you know, and stuff.
Right.
And stuff like that. It's absolutely insane. It's an invasion of many levels of privacy, and I think basically what my, this is just my opinion, we'll go back to sharing silver and gold. We'll be buying things like that until they put a stop to that somehow. But yeah, as soon as somebody's going to
stop theft, how do we stop theft from wrecking our lives? We just know we can't go off with it.
Yeah, the only way, look, I've sued 9 attorneys personally. I haven't had outside counsel for nothing. All right, I've taken over $30,000 from them sons of bitches. And I don't even like attorneys. You know, they just make me sick to even look at them. And I'm sorry, but over the years, that's what I had gotten out of them. You know, and so finally, when I finally got sick of being tossed around like some bag of potatoes and being looted, I got tired of it. And I studied up and I sued them all. I sued every one of them that came after me.
He's not even an attorney. He's not an attorney, by the way.
No, I'm not. I'm a pro se litigant. That's it. I was a pro se litigant. And I filed my verified complaint claims in federal court. And, you know, that is the only real way I see it hurting, you know, is taking their money, taking what they're taking from us, and educating ourselves to, like, or even getting with a lawyer or trying to find a lawyer that you can work with and go after them because, you know, there's no way that the school should be teaching our children what you're teaching them right now. I mean, they're destroying their lives, you know? Think about this.
That's the only way to hurt a politician is to take away their job.
That's it.
Then they get elected, they start their re-election campaign. Okay? They don't care about the money. It's all about the next election cycle.
Herschel Walker, Mr. Warnock.
Change in government. You start making them live like the people they represent. Right?
Yeah.
Making them pay them a 401k instead of retiring with their full salary for the rest of their life.
Animal Farm.
You make them pay them Social Security. The only thing you can do to hurt a politician is to take away their power, because that's what it's about. It's not about representing the people. It's not about what's best for this country. It's about power.
Years ago, when I was teaching, and my teacher was a guy named Joe Cerna, Marchbury Fisher Chavez back in the day. He became mayor of Sacramento. So he was asking the students, what's the purpose of a politician? And we were all naive and optimistic. Oh, it's basically to help people. Oh, it's to change society. Oh, it's to do this, to do that. And he said, like, that in fact, this is to all the naive, optimistic response. No. Purpose of a politician, get elected. That's it. And that was the most honest and responsible Democrat I had ever heard. The politician is to get elected. This guy named Ken Schiff, S-H-I-P-P, he was a former CIA officer, and he has this three-part expose about the shadow government, and he is quoted as saying, I think it was John White at the Rutherford Institute who called it, we are in an electronic concentration camp. Through our cell phones, smart TVs, all around us. We have no privacy. Privacy is dead. Constitution of privacy, I'm sorry to say, is gone.
Well, we have to fact check that first, what you just talked about. So I'm not sure if that's true or not. But when you guys go voting, I got a question. Do you think every time you pull that, whatever you have to do, you don't know if it's going to work or not? How many of you don't trust it? Because, you know, elections are coming real soon. Every time I go there, yeah, I voted for this guy, but I don't know what's going to happen. Things are happening in Ohio. Finally, Ohio is getting the same thing. So what do you think should happen next month? Is there going to be a wave? A red wave. Is there going to be a change? Are people done enough with this economy, the gas prices, the food prices? You know, people I know can't even eat meat anymore. They don't eat meat because they can't afford it. The people that are skipping meals. So what's you guys' take on that? You can start with Mr. Muckler. Yes.
I just don't know years ago. I haven't voted in Highlands County yet, but I'm pretty confident it's going to be okay. Or I voted over in Florida in Cape Canaveral. We did paper ballots, and you had the pen, you know, a black pen that they gave you, and you filled in a little circle, and then you put that in a scanner, and you stood there and watched them while they did that.
Mm-hmm.
You went on your way. So I've never had a problem with it. The thing I don't know, though, is I don't know if they counted my who counted my votes the way they're supposed to be counted. It everything seemed to work pretty well, but you know what happened after it went through that scanner? Lord knows.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Mr. Frank. What do you feel? What do you think is going to happen next? Or I mean, after the last election, we don't know. We have no idea. Because I actually watched, like Ronald Owen said, I watched the California runoffs, and I saw the numbers flip. Like, it was crazy. He was behind, and all of a sudden, he was way ahead. So that could happen anywhere.
Yeah, aren't we pretty sure there's no after?
Yeah. Right.
And, I mean, I don't want to be a name there, but I don't think it can work. Everything's corrupt. FBI, CIA, all politicians.
Right.
Political parties. When everything's corrupt, I mean, this is what you get. You aren't going to get an honest election. I don't know what's going to happen. But I just think, you know, when you think about it, none of this stuff would be happening if the Constitution did what it was supposed to do, and it's not doing it. And it was supposed to give we the people a voice so that we could determine the role we wanted the federal, state, and local government to play in our lives. I'm 74 years old now. Never been asked my opinion on any issue. Anytime I've tried to get involved, I fought. And the whole thing is corrupt. I mean, that's a fact. And the people that are benefiting from a corrupt system are not going to change it. But like we were talking about earlier, about all these things, it's like we're in a technological concentration camp, which I totally agree with. But what they're doing is they're using technology on us.
Yes, right.
If they can. You know, on MSNBC, CNN, they're saying, hey, put this mask.
Right.
Forget the shots. How they're using it on our kids in school. And we're using Constitution to attempt to keep this happening. But the problem with Constitution, if you read it, while all of this technology is being used on us, there's not one word of communication technology in the Constitution. We have no way of protecting ourselves because we can't have our voices heard. And voting for somebody that you've never met, never going to communicate with, when people vote, they don't know 99% of the people they're voting.
That's exactly, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So what do they think is going to happen? All that's happened is the same thing that's happened every time. As soon as somebody wins an election, they start getting 18,000 a month. And all of a sudden, they don't live in your world any longer.
Right.
Communicating with you.
I saw that today I watched the debate, so I saw that Raphael Warnock was saying, hey, I'm glad to be back in Georgia. Well, aren't you supposed to be in Georgia in your six-year term? I mean, how out of touch are people at that level? So,
How many days they work? How many days
right.
Do they work?
Right.
100. That's all they work.
Wow.
And they're getting 200,000 a year, equivalent of about 600,000.
Right. Yes.
And they're laughing all the way. They don't want anything to change. They don't want us to have a voice. That's the last thing they want.
Okay.
So my thing is, if we don't give ourselves a voice, we're done.
Thank you, Mr. Doobie Walden. You're next. I want you to specifically talk.
As far as a red wave,
yes.
Should there be, in my opinion, yes. Do I think that there are enough people in this country that are sick of the way things are running now, that there should be a red wave? Yes. Do I have faith in all those people to go to the polls and make a change? No. You got a lot of armchair quarterbacks in this country.
Right.
They want to sit around and complain about the way things are, but they don't want to get up and do something about it. And as David said, he's never had his voice heard. I've been fighting. I lost my son to an illegal alien in 2017 in the state of Maryland. Okay. The state of Maryland knew it was illegal 5 years before he killed my son. They had him to jail 5 times before he killed my son. I've been fighting for 5 years. I've been to Washington, D.C. 3 times. I've spoken in front of Senate subcommittees. I've been to Florida. I've been to Texas. I've been to Wisconsin. I've been to Tennessee. You want to talk about not having your voice heard?
Absolutely.
That is really honest. When it comes to this red wave, that is my biggest motivator for conservative values to come back. That is my biggest motivator for supporting Donald Trump, because he actually did something about a screwed up, failed immigration system.
That's very passionate, because your son, I mean, that's what happened. This is the reason why your son was killed, because of what we had.
Sanctuary policy.
We've had other people killed.
How is it that a county, a city, a state can claim sanctuary, which is against our federal law?
Right.
One side, but we can change the subject now. This is just, you're not, your voice is not being heard. My voice is not being heard.
Left Democrats who are pushing sanctuary state. It's physically based. The same people who don't like God, like the Bible, are using a biblical term to do something that's immoral.
You can go to the church. You can go to the church for sanctuary.
Yeah,
that's
the
problem.
So, yeah.
How can we allow our states to violate federal law?
Right.
And again, that's what they said.
Yep.
Because the corrupt level is so high that they can do whatever they want. As a people, we have got to take back this country. I'm not a philosopher. But there's got to be a way for me to
say this. Just think about this for a second. Just think about this. You know, one thing Donald Trump really did a great job at, he did a great job with everything as far as I'm concerned. But the two things he educated the country on were the fact that the media is fake, number one.
Right.
And number two, he said he wanted to drain the swamp. Okay? I think we can all agree that everything is relative. Okay? Everything is relative. And we all wanted him to go and drain the swamp. But if anybody's ever drained anything, you know that you never put the drain plug at the top. You always put the drain plug at the bottom. And our bottom is our community. And there are people here that want to drain the swamp. And if you pull the way you pull the ladder from the tower at the top is you always pull the ladder from the bottom. Everybody's looking at the top. This guy's going to, whoever it is, going to come in and they're going to fix JFK and Robert Kennedy. They are proof that you cannot change this country from the top. You have to change it from the bottom. And all I'm saying is that in our community, we have 267,000 people, brain cells. And on the county council, got nine people doing the thinking for 267,000 people. It is a brain dead system. And what we can do with the technology, community by community, is we can fire up those brain cells where instead of having nine idiots on a school board, we might have 10,000 people coming up with ideas to make education better. Like my wife, she works for Special Media. She's done it for 23 years. I'll tell you why education doesn't work. Very simply, she's got the hardest job in schools. She teaches kids that have learning disabilities how to learn. She's been hit. She's fallen down. It's the hardest job in the school system. The superintendent makes $200,000 a year for failing education system. The average administrator makes $87,000 a year doing absolutely nothing. And my wife, after 23 years, was making $13 an hour having the hardest job in school. They're stealing the money. That's what they're doing. They're stealing the money. And, you know, like the superintendent, he's going to hire the dream team. He hired four people. Paid them $500,000 to form a $500,000 they won. While my wife has been with the education system for 23 years and makes $13 and now $16,000 a year. That's what's happening. Whoever is controlling our money is stealing it. I mean, they've stolen over $30 trillion in Washington, D.C. That's million. It's a number that doesn't even exist. 30 million, million. That's how much these people have stolen from us.
Yeah.
And all we've got to do is say, sorry, that we've got to stop bleeding. Let me just share something with you. And then I'll shut up.
I said, you do a better job biting your tongue than I do.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Believe me, half of it's gone. Half of it's gone. I bit it hard.
Mr. Owens, Mr. Ronald F. Owens. Oh, go ahead.
Creates poverty, and does poverty create crime? Just a little economics, very simple. Kevin and I, first of all, we need money so that we can barter with one another. We can have a place to live, go out to eat, have a car, buy gas, blah, blah, blah. Our community needs money so that we can function. Kevin and I represent and all the people in your community. $100 is all money in your community. When I trade with Kevin, he's got $93 because the state just took 7 cents. Our state takes 7 cents on every dollar sales tax. Okay? So he's got $93. When he trades with me, I got $86. The state has $14.
Mm-hmm.
When we keep going back and forth, after a while, the state has all the money.
Right.
There's no money in our food. That does not include the $4 trillion a year that we're setting up 145 lawyers, politicians in Washington, and all that being sucked out of your community. That doesn't include driver's licenses and car licenses.
Hairdresser licenses.
You know, the list goes on. We have wheel taxes, the whole bit. Yeah, there you go. But there's no money left. That's my point. And the reason that we need a voice in our community is to go, no, we're keeping our tax money in our community, and we're going to let the people decide where that money goes and doesn't go.
Power to the people. That's what you're saying.
Pardon me?
Power to the people is what you're saying. Power to the people.
Freedom of speech. I'm 74. I don't have a it shouldn't be that hard. Look at the six of us sitting here talking. 20 years ago, they tell us all we were crazy. If the six of us could sit here and look each other in the eye and get to know each other. But the technology here, this thing right here, this is amazing. This can do anything. I paid my bills with it. I transfer money with it. I know exactly how far my daughter's house is from me, Florida, how many miles, and exactly how long it takes to get there. You want to know who won the World Series in 1963 and who pitched? I'll tell you. This is amazing. This is what God has given us. Three, you know, he gave Moses a piece of wood. And he said, we all stand up together. We can walk out of here. If we all start thinking the same thing at the same time, the public broadcasting belongs to the people. And we want to use it for something other than Antique Roadshow and cartoons and 60s.
I got
and
sense.
All of a sudden, we can interconnect the brain cells in our community.
I got sense about public television.
Oh, did you?
Public television is not public television. They slant it just like everybody else.
That's right. We've got to take it back. We've got to take it back. It belongs to we the people, and they don't want us using it to for what it was initially intended, to broadcast to the public.
Instead, we're watching
Antique Roadshow.
Hey, what's wrong with that show? It's off stage anyway. Mr. Owens, what's your thoughts on what's coming next month? I know you talked about a little bit earlier about California, and I think people are done. What's your opinion on this economy and what's going to happen?
Before I answer that question,
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, based on what you said, and I can tell everybody else here, I have a friend who absolutely hates Republicans. Always has. This year, a few months ago, last summer, he said, we got to vote those Democrats out. We got to vote for Republican this time because I try to go here and there. And I've heard that from like four people. We have to do this because they're killing us. Vacation, everything. It affects your life. I mean, some people, it's like people are living hard underneath this economy right now. And this is one of the reasons I brought that up because people have had it. It goes beyond where your politicians are. When you don't have food, like I said, I have friends who can't eat meat because they can't afford it. And meat, I remember when chicken went up to like $17, you know, for a package. And people can't do that. That's, you're eliminating choices, and they know where it's coming from. It's not the Ukraine war. It's not that at all. I mean, that's, you can blame that for everything else. This is the economy and how things have been turned around, because it was fun. We were fine before this happened. That's the thing. So I totally get it, and it is happening, and I can verify people, Democrats, are turning the other way. I think it's going to be a tsunami. Yes.
That's trying to tell us something. I think what it's doing, you know, is everything it can to destroy the economy so that it can't recover. And I think what he's doing is he's buying this time and destroying the economy so that even if Trump does come back, and he may not, I don't know. I thought he was terrific. I know a lot of people hate him. I don't know why. I think they watch CNN. I think that's totally different right there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you watch Fox, you know, they're sitting there pulling the curtain back. And if Betsy Fox was acclimating people all these years ago to that station for the news,
right?
And what he did was he just sort of flipped it around from news to propaganda. And that's what they've been, that's what's happened, been propagandized.
Right.
Believe that he's just a horrible, horrible person.
Absolutely.
I love to shake his hand. I think that
Donald Trump was the first president ever to mention the Angel families in this country. The very first president ever to mention the Angel families.
Did you meet him?
No, I did not get the chance to.
But you've been to the White House, right?
He had three of my very close friends at his inauguration.
Okay. Right.
Second friend that is a problem. First one is everyone.
Yeah.
Very smart guy. Very smart guy.
Right.
He really is incredible.
Just throw out there.
I think.
The reason I see that Donald Trump was elected was because he was not a politician. People were tired of politicians.
Right.
They wanted a businessman, somebody that would run this country like a business.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. And that's also why he was so hated. It's because the cesspool, the swamp, couldn't run wild and rampant and do what they damn well pleased without him calling them out. He had the huevos to stand up and call these people out.
Right.
And that's why they hate him.
Fake news. Mr. Buckler, you got anything to say about that?
Can I pick up
sure.
Sure. The purpose of a politician, you know, in politics, probably gets many things, but I think the is the purpose of politicians from the 1700s. They didn't really know the term electrical impulse, but all politicians were really supposed to be were electrical impulses. They got on their horses and rode back and forth from Washington or state capitals or downtown to talk with the people. And they got shorted out with greed from the corporations.
Right.
And that's why we, the people, don't have a voice. I mean, like, they never come knocking on my door. So they're electrical impulses is what they're supposed to be, but they're all shorted out with greed, and that's why the founders told us it's our right and our duty to change the system. They knew that this thing wasn't going to last. They knew it for a fact because they knew that that absolute power would have
corrupt
absolutely. It has. We're giving 545, and talking about lawyers. And you do me, or no, this was, it was Drucker talking about lawyers. That's who's in Washington.
Yes.
545 lawyers for the most part, and we're spending $1 trillion, $4 million every 12 months. And if you think the lawyers can't figure out a way to get you.
Right, because it's written in their language. All the bills are in their language that nobody else can understand or read. So, Rebel, you have anything to say? Oh, go ahead.
I think that if, we all need to get out and still vote, regardless of feelings about the last election. And the only way to take our country back is the way that they took it from us, starting with our educational departments and our communities and things of that nature to, indoctrinate our children, basically. That's what they're doing. When they don't teach you the right subjects in the classroom, I no longer call them public schools or government schools, The subjects that they're teaching them, it's not bad. It's arithmetic and English and history and stuff like that, but you got to really watch where you get your information from. Google is not going to give you the right type of information if you're the answers that you're looking for. You got a big tech that's climbing down your throat every chance you.
Right.
Every time you go to your phone, you got a big tech sitting there waiting for you. And, I've gone to basically different search engines. I've tried Quant, Q-W-A-N-T. I've tried Brave. I've tried, different ones to get. How I test it is I type in Donald Trump. I see what comes up. That's how I test it. You type in Donald Trump, you see what comes up. Because, I tell you, I get on my computer with my laptop every morning, and I check my emails and stuff like that and correspond with people that I need to. And I tell you what, every time I go to that Edge browser, it brings up something negative on Donald Trump, no matter what it is. He's screaming at this person, he's screaming at that. So, they come at us from all different angles, and now they're messing with our fuel prices, they're messing with our food prices, and now they're talking about water.
Yes.
When you can go to your refrigerator and you got a smart refrigerator and you leave and basically your refrigerator texts you that you're running out of milk. Your refrigerator will text you that you're low on milk because it's not there anymore, right? Now, is that not an invasion of privacy?
Right.
I'm just saying, we got to kind of segregate ourselves from that kind of ideology that, makes us even more angry or more, or it dumbs us down even more,
Digital prison.
Sometimes you can watch CNN, and you become even more dumber than you were before you watched it,
I can't watch TV. Sorry. I can't.
Well, there's no news. There's no news anymore.
Right.
When I was a kid, there was a guy that came on my television every night. His name was Walter Cronkite.
Mm-hmm.
Walter Cronkite said, "Hey, this happened today." Right. That's it.
Yeah. Right.
He didn't tell you how to react to it. He didn't tell
you. Oh yeah, I hate that. Well, it's a little slippery out today. It's raining, and it's going to go down. Why even have weather people until something happens? We shouldn't be. Why do we have traffic? Unless, all that stuff you can find, you can do now but on your own. Just like David says with technology, you can do all that on your own now. I can look outside. I don't need a weather report when it's summertime. I don't get that. Why are we paying these people? Because there's nothing else they're doing. They're not doing anything else. Then they want to do 5:30, 6. It just goes on and on.
Well, what I've learned from watching the weather is basically last night I heard, the night before last, I think I'm in Michigan, I heard that there could be an accumulation 2 inches of snow. I was like, okay, I'm sure that's going to happen. But the reason I think that they do that is because it reminded me of a scenario that I was in Florida where they did a study that each time that they knew that it was going to rain or something that the the weather departments got together and said, well, there's going to be so much rain during this day. Each time that they did that, well, at the stores, it triggered things that were bought. And what were bought were strawberry Pop-Tarts. Every time that there was going to be a major rain,
really?
It triggered strawberry Pop-Tarts for some reason. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm putting these two things together, and I'm thinking, okay, it's going to snow. We better run to the store and get some blankets or something. I don't know what they're after there, you know, but I didn't stay with any of those types of studies or anything like that. But, you know, that dawned on me when I heard that, because I thought the weather guy was a fool for even saying that.
Right.
It's not going to snow like 40 degrees on them. Sorry. You know?
That's only job you have to be wrong 70% of the time to keep the job.
Yes.
And another thing, we need to put term limits on these damn politicians. With that.
Right. How old do you have to be to retire? What do you say about that? What's your thought?
It looks like we might be on time. Let me just say that I think one story. On June the 7th of 1958, I stood with some other young men, and we raised our right hand, and we swore to protect the United States Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Mm-hmm.
And as a submarine second lieutenant, I was thinking, who the heck are these domestic people
who yes.
have to protect us from? I thought, well, I don't have to worry about
this. Now
we have to worry about the Russians. Now, I'm kind of thinking, I think I know who the domestic people
yes, right. That's who they are. Right. Yeah, Chinese spies, all kinds of things. So, Doobie, you and I are both in the military recently, or not that long ago. They used to bring up smuggling children, human trafficking. I didn't know why. I couldn't figure it out. But later on, I mean, after the last election, it's like it started showing up. This is what's actually going on. These are the things and the Epstein thing and everything. So that's something that the things, like you said, that you don't know are actually happening. You don't know why we're doing this, but it has to be real. So, so we all agree that we're going to have some kind of, supposedly if this was the real world, this would be like a red tsunami. Does everybody think that if everything was fair and everything worked out the way we think? I think it is only based on what Ronald's experiences and my experience, because that's very rare. That never happens. Usually people are on one side. I'm sure you know people like that too, everybody else who's seen that. But this is the first time I've seen this happen in a community where people are fed up, because we haven't been there. It's been a long time. We've had like crashes before 2008. In the 80s, but nothing like this. We've never had anything like this, and we have a lot of people dying on the sides too. We have a lot of deaths around here.
There's not been anything like this in history.
Right.
And there should never be anything like it again.
For this thing has to be brought to an end.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be put back in hand.
Yeah, this is the point. I'm not going to actually say this, because, you know, we're on Facebook. Yes. Right. Oh, have you? Oh, yeah, I couldn't tell. You hide it pretty well. So, yeah, this is what the whole point of this show was, is for us to see how bad things are versus what's going to actually happen. I think it's going to translate in Ohio for sure, because we're one of the few states left that actually you get what you vote for. So there's still a lot of hesitation. But the national election last time, in 2020, we actually saw Ohio was behind for a little bit because they were counting. It depends on how they count the votes. Then that discourages people from going to the polls and everything. Oh, yeah, anyway, yeah, he has. And that's one of the tricks they use. Well, we're going to count the military last, or they throw them away. That's what happens, unfortunately. And nobody goes to jail. Nobody has to.
We've got six different gentlemen in this room, all of them have their own opinions. Not all of them are the same. Right. We've all said that. We've all said that.
Right.
And
nobody's threatened anybody, nobody's belittled anybody, nobody's called anybody names. Right.
Right. Yes.
And not as a politician.
Right.
Exactly.
We need to learn how to sue politicians.
Yeah. Okay. You know, yeah, we could end the show because you know, I appreciate everybody's time. I appreciate every time. It's the first time I had more than two people on, and it's great to have all these opinions. And you guys are all like pros, and you're good at what you do. So yeah, Ronald, thank you very much. Ronald's like a walking encyclopedia, by the way.
Great to be with you guys. Good talk.
Sure. Go ahead, Ronald. Yes. Doobie.
Just something that you hear from people in the world. Again, the suppression of knowledge. And the suppression of knowledge.
Right.
And healthcare. And healthcare.
Yeah. Right.
You know all these functions and you speak, like I said, your voice is not being heard because the only people that we're speaking to and the only people that are putting us on their podcasts or they're putting us on their radio shows are conservatives, the people that already know what I'm trying to tell you. If people knew the hundreds of thousands of angel parents that exist in this country, and if they listened to the stories of how these people lost their loved ones, then every one of those deaths was 100% preventable. Every one of them.
Right.
And the person had been deported when they were discovered to be illegal and would not have been there to commit the crime. They had my son's killer in jail 5 times in 5 years. And admittedly knew that that he was in the country illegally.
Where is he at now?
Well, he was deported to Mexico in 2019, and he had a wife and child that were legal in Maryland. So my guess is Maryland probably back.
Yeah, probably.
His feet didn't hit him. Come on, you guys. His feet didn't hit the ground. There was a guy in North Carolina that was deported for beating up his wife. Okay, he beat her almost to death. They convicted him. He did time in prison. He went back. They deported him. 9 days after he was deported, he killed his wife in South Carolina. 9 days.
No, for kids like that, they need to bring back the hanging system. I mean, how do you decide about that?
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Okay. Bye, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Yeah, if you guys want to, anytime you want to come on my program, I'm going to do this format from now on. I appreciate every one of you for being here and having this great conversation. My producer really liked this program tonight, so... Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, thank you. Yeah, next week I'm having an attorney on, and then after that should be good. At that point on, not you, a nice attorney, a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, there are, and it's not anything high power or anything, but you know, but that's why I like having guys like you on. You guys are achievers. I like that. So. And Jimmy doesn't think he is, but, you know, he's done a lot of things, and I could not survive very well after stuff he's done and what he's going through right now. I was with him We both were at a speaking engagement in Naples last year. So sometimes we show up at the same place. It's pretty cool. It's sad what they talk about. Very sad. I've been on radio programs with him before. It's heartbreaking. Usually they have three people that work together. So, yeah, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I've got kids, and I can imagine if an immigrant was to take one of my kids' life, I wouldn't even know what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know.
Well, can you tell me about
that? Okay. All right. Thank you.
They talk about the suppression of information. I mean, we can talk about that all day long because, you know, cancer cures have been suppressed since they came up.
Right.
I mean, there are cancer cures that, you know, hardly anybody knows about because they're thrown into chemotherapy or operations or, you know, things of that nature. But, I mean,
there will never be a cure for cancer because there are too many billions of dollars.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but there are people that you can get with that can cure it.
Right.
Ty Bollinger, for naming one name, that's the name that comes to mind. He is one of them that, if he doesn't know, he will get you somebody that can. And do it the natural way. Not talking about, you know, cutting the tumor out, because the tumor is not the cancer.
Right.
Not the cancer. That's an effect from the cancer. So that's why it comes back and gets malignant and all that and gets worse.
Yeah.
It's been nice talking with you, Kevin.
Yes, you too.
I really enjoyed this.
Oh, I'm glad you did. You know, yeah, I've been trying to get you back on for a while now. When you came up today, I think that's awesome. So I know you're busy, got your own business and everything. So.
Yeah, it's tough. It's trying to, you know, pick out the wrinkles, you know, and keep everybody happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I make automobile parts out of composite materials, so I'm a mold and pattern engineer right now. So I make my own molds and patterns for my own products, and they're selling really good right now. I keep raising the prices, and they keep buying them, so I'm kind of, well, the reason I don't do it on deliberately purpose, you know, because I just don't have people that want to know. So I have to raise the price in order to slow the orders down enough so that I can keep up with them with what I've got, you know. So.
Yeah, pleasure talking with you. Good luck. And Kevin, thanks so much for inviting me on and giving me the opportunity to talk about the America that I love and serve.
No problem, sir. It was a pleasure to have you both on, and your ideas, you guys are awesome. I tell you, you guys did an awesome job. So, Rebel, good to have you back. Mr. Muckler, it's great to have you back, and I appreciate your service and everything. So, and yeah, he's quite accomplished. Mr. Muckler is, I think, probably help your business too. Who knows?
Cool. Well, right now I'm looking for a third party to run the molds, and so I don't have to run the parts. So I can just organize. I want to scale it up, so I'm trying to organize it to where I'm not running the parts and building the molds and running after the supplies and all this kind of stuff. So,
what part of Michigan are you in?
I'm in Niles.
What is that? What's that close
to? About 10 miles out of South Bend.
Okay.
I'm only really 5 miles out of the border, really. I'm
okay.
Like 5 miles from the border.
All right.
So,
yeah. Well, good luck with that. Pay him like $100,000 to get somebody.
Hey, I'm offended.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, you know.
I bet. Awesome. All right, guys. Thank you so much. You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're always welcome. And you guys, anytime you want to get on here, I'm going to have this format. So I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. What app are you using for this?
This is StreamYard.
StreamYard? I have to remember that.
StreamYard. Yeah. I was with Zoom. It didn't work out very well, but this is actually automatically takes this program and streams it to another radio program or another video program that I'm on now. So this is actually, it's pretty slick. I got this new camera and it's 2K and it's working great. It looks good. So I was pretty blurry. Can't use the computer camera. It doesn't work out very well. I was like, wait a minute.
You got that autofocus, and you can't really autofocus. You know what I mean?
Right. Right, but it's been pretty fun. It's pretty cool. So yeah, you don't be a stranger and.
And I'll get a hold of you. I'll send you some links too, some information that I've found out about a few things.
Okay.
Pretty interesting stuff.
And I wanted to have Mike on too, Mike Sprott, but he.
Did you know? Yeah, I heard. I thought he was trying to get on too. Did you know in Virginia they've got these new ATM machines that will scan your palm?
No. So, really?
They will scan your palm. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, that's not good at all.
That's not good at all, no. They will also scan a driver's license. They will take the facial recognition. The new ATMs that they're coming out with are just off the chart. But what I thought was the most interesting, that linked everything up, makes sense to me, was the palm reader.
Wow. Yeah, that's scary.
The palm reader, yeah, that's
scary. Yeah, somebody's going to lose their hand. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I needed his hand to open this safe, so.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting. All right, thank you very much, and I appreciate you coming on. Have a good, as good as fishing can be weekend. Hope you don't get much snow.
No, we didn't.
Okay. All right, sir.
All right, take care.
All right, you too.
Good night.
Good night. And that's the end of the American Legion Show. This is your host, Kevin White. Had a great show. I enjoyed it. Learned a lot of things going on. A little off topic, but I think that's okay. I think people like to speak their mind, you know. And I don't know. It's the other side. See, it's all magic back here, right? And so I have a way over here, too. You got to do it just right. Well, not while you're on the air. See, that doesn't work very well. Anyway, it's been a great program. We'll see you next week. But it's the end of the show anyway. So next week, we're going to have an attorney on. We're going to talk about issues, what schools are doing now that the parents don't know about, most likely, unless they go to a board meeting and somebody knows about it, the teachers are included. So this is going to be very interesting. So I appreciate my guest tonight. Thank everybody for coming on. And remember, in our Patriot Nation Radio Network, and the show is an American Legion show, and we will be back next week. Everybody have a great weekend, and God bless America. So I'm removing myself from the stream, and I am going to and you see, I did the radio first. And that's the end of the show. In the episode. So I'm simulcasting right now. It's